answering some of the questions about these. We're starting off today with Birkas HaTorah. Birkas HaTorah. I want to speak a little bit about some thoughts we have to have with Birkas HaTorah on a number of different levels. Now, the truth be told, that by just in case you didn't realize, we're making up the tefillah shiur on Tuesday was like pushed off till today because Tuesday we had like the matzah thing and we'd have a chance. This is like a great opportunity to, since we happened to all be here in the same room anyway, we're just going to pretend this is Tuesday and we're having a tefillah shiur now. We call them the regular vad because I really like to get. And the truth is, this you can call if I call this a vad, you wouldn't know the difference anyway. So like no one knows what a vad is. So that this is just you know the same. So it's a tefillah vad. Yeah. Okay. Birkas HaTorah. Two words, a couple of words of introduction behind Birkas HaTorah. So all the Rishonim seem to agree that Birkas HaTorah is one of the only two brachos that the Torah itself is mechayev a person to make. One of the other brachos, of course, is Birkas HaMazon, right? When a person is benching, you have a chiyuv to make a bracha, v'yachalta v'savata v'yirachta seshem alokecha, Birkas HaMazon, and you have Birkas HaTorah. We're obligated to make a bracha, midah oraisa, before we engage in limud HaTorah. The Gemara learns it from a pasuk in Parashas Ha'azino, ki shem Hashem ekra, hovu godel leilokeinu. When I'm going to read the Shem Hashem, we'll read or call out the Shem Hashem, Hovu Godel Leilokeinu, you should give greatness to Hashem. And again, the Gemara's and Brachos learn out that that's the source of the idea of Birkas HaTorah. Now, there's a couple of things that one should be aware of, even just on that level, before we start working through the Brachos themselves. There is a machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not, and this is a technical point, that's why we're not gonna dwell on this at all. There's machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. In other words, that we count the obligation to make Birkas HaTorah, even though it's a chiyuv d'oraisa, is that on the list of the 613 mitzvos of the Torah or not? Okay, that's a technical point. The bottom line is, like I said a second ago, the consensus of all the Rishonim is that the chiyuv to make the Birkas HaTorah is definitely d'oraisa. So this is just a technical question. How do you list what's included on that list of 613 mitzvos? But Birkas HaTorah is a d'oraisa. Now, there's a couple of interesting things about the fact that Birkas HaTorah is d'oraisa and what the source, how do we know the idea that there's Birkas HaTorah, min HaTorah. So for example, when we mention the two brachos that a person is chayiv to make min HaTorah, Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah, it certainly sort of jumps off of the non-existent page at you that the Torah is being mechayiv us to interact with Hashem, to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at two very, very basic junctures in our life. In other words, the same way a person understands and he knows that intuitively, if I ask you, like, what's the idea? Why do you make a bracha after you eat a meal? So you would tell me, like, what's so important about eating and making a bracha? Well, why is that obvious? Like, not obvious, but like, why does it make sense? For what? Well, eating as opposed to what?
That's sustaining your life.
Sustaining you.
Keeping you
alive, right? So, like, I understand. Like, it's such a basic thing. I would die without eating food, and the Torah comes and tells me, okay, so if that's the case, it's such an important thing in a human being's existence. It's not a joke that Jews take food seriously. It's a very, very important thing. It's such an important thing. It's at those moments that you recognize, say, you know what, this is essential, this is basic to my life. I have to have the Akaras HaTov. I have to praise Hashem, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for keeping me going over here. And yet the counterpart, bracha, that's also min HaTorah, is Birkas HaTorah. And it, like I said, it jumps off the page, whatever the expression is, jumps at you, off that page, it's got to jump at you somehow or another, that there's a clear parallel here, that the two brachas that the Torah itself wants you to make, the bracha when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for sustaining us on a physical level, but that has to go, what we call bad bevad, that has to go coincidentally with coincide with the fact that we recognize that the Torah, limud HaTorah, is the very thing that's going to keep us alive in a more real sense, in a spiritual sense, in a nitzchias, in an eternal kind of a sense. And those things which are essential to the human experience, those things that are musts in our life, those are things that, yes, a person has to stop and recognize, hey, you know what, I really have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this because I couldn't survive without that. Now, there's a certain implicit, we'll call it a musar, we'll call it a hashkafa, we'll call it a machshava, we'll call it whatever you want, inspiration, that's supposed to be there. When a person opens up a siddur in the morning and makes Birkas HaTorah, I'm going to make a comment that I'm going to make more than once in the course of our discussion right now. Birkas HaTorah is one of the most underappreciated tools that a person has in his day. It's an opportunity that Nebuch gets stuck at the very, very beginning of our morning. Oftentimes, something like Birkas HaTorah stands in the way of a guy who wakes up late and wants to catch up in his davening and knows that he has to like rush in order to be able to like make it or catch up or daven Tefillah B'Tzibur. And unfortunately, when that's the case, what ends up happening is something as important, not only because it's Doraisa, but because a lot of the machshava that we're going to learn right now about Birkas HaTorah gets lost. So if we rattle it off like at like a million mile light speed, right, boom, 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 without actually just like thinking for a second, what am I doing over here? So we're going to miss out a tremendous amount. So part of the reason why we're going to spend a long time right now learning about Birkas HaTorah is to get us, true for all the brachos, but this is certainly a major, major, major thing right now, is to get us to be able to appreciate a little bit more what it is that we're saying, some of the feelings, emotions, thoughts that are meant to be there during the time of the Birkas HaTorah. So first of all, the very fact that we're making a bracha, and we're aware that the brachas that we're making are a chiyuv d'oraisa, and when we think about the implication, like we just said, Birkas HaMazon, Birkas HaTorah, these are the things that keep a person going. Now, if a person doesn't yet appreciate, hey, Limud HaTorah is the thing that keeps me alive, Limud HaTorah is as important to my existence, and the truth is even more important to my existence, and the food that I'm eating, because the food l'mais is only in Olam Hazeh, and then it's done, and then you just become warm food yourself, but Birkas HaTorah is the thing that's going to keep you, the real you, going forever and ever and ever, l'neitzach nitzachim in Olam Haba. So if we don't appreciate that, hey, this is an opportunity now to just stop and think, to remind us, says, hey, you know what, that's like really true. I'm making this bracha because the Torah wants me to have the perspective. The Torah wants me to have the attitude and the understanding that the Torah is something that's so essential to my existence. It's up there with the, like, this is what you need to stay alive with things. Birkas HaMazon, Birkas HaTorah, the two brachos that Hashem wants us to have, Midoraisa, because these are, in fact, the most important things in your life. So you've heard it here first. Food, that's very, very important. But learning, that's going to be the one that's more important. And that's like outlook number one, even before you get to learn the actual words and the perush of what the brachas are about. But that perspective is important. Yeah?
Why don't we say Birkas HaTorah after we learn the Torah, just like Birkas HaMazon?
Okay, so the Gemara actually is a discussion in brachas. Why is it that Birkas HaTorah? The Gemara actually has a bunch of possible kavachomers back and forth. Should I learn a kavachomer from Birkas HaTorah that I should make a bracha d'oraisa before I eat? Should I learn from Birkas HaMazon that I should be chiyuv to make a bracha after learning, like we find before learning? So I'm going to say quickly right now, even though we're going to talk about this more as we're going along, because the truth is built into that is a basic outlook also. Although a person certainly understands that without eating, he's going to pass away. So he's not going. It's not going to work, right? The food is the thing that keeps his neshama inside of his guf. Lechem comes from the word halchama. The word lahalchim, something in Hebrew, means to weld something. When you want to weld metal, okay, halchama, hey, halchama, whatever you spell that. So what the lechem is welding together is the person's neshama into his guf. That's what keeps us, like, I don't know, I keep doing this when I do that, whatever. That's what keeps the person. You know this exercise when I was just doing that? This is found in Ari Kaplan book. I read this years ago when I was like a little kid. It's a great mashal. But if I was to say to a person who we're going to pick on, put on Kobe for right now, you got to like make sure you do this right, okay? If I say point to yourself, you're going to do what? Just point to yourself. Now, just answer the question, okay? Well, don't contemplate, no trick question. Answer the question. What are you pointing at?
My body.
So when I say now point to yourself, well, in other words, what was funny about what you just said?
Pointing to my body as being my true self.
Well, that's not really what was funny. That's not like so funny. But what was funny was that I said, point to yourself. And I said, what are you pointing to? You said, my body. So the possessor, the owner of the body is whom?
Me.
But I asked you to point to yourself. So then you can't point to something. And if I had to point to your wallet, so the wallet has nothing to do with me, I can say, this is my wallet. So when I say, point to yourself, and you go like this, and you say, my body, right? So you're not really following the point. Right, so built into the language that we use, people have like a certain admission, like a little hodah, that we all understand that ourselves are not really the goof thing that we're pointing at right now. We don't always think about it, but it's a very, very important point to think through. So what we're saying is like this: the food is the thing that keeps me going on a physical level. I appreciate the food after I eat it. I thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu for getting me going. But at the end of the day, right, if I didn't have that and I was just to like not be here in Olam Hazeh anymore, it's not the end of the world, because that's just temporary. Like the bottom line is, like the real parts of existence are the things that we're not yet privy to, because we're stuck in this particular plane of existence. Because the Torah, on the other hand, the Torah wants us to look at this and say, we understand that this is what we're going to call right now like a plea. We're begging Kadosh Baruch Hu. I know that Be'emes, I can't exist without Limud HaTorah. I have to ask for that. I have to talk about it before I get to it. At the end of the day, if I didn't eat, and I would die, you're like, okay, like what's the big deal? So I'll just continue on without the body over it. That part doesn't really matter. You can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity that you have in this world, but at the end of the day, you don't have to like beg the Ribbono Shel Olam for that life that you have here, because it's actually not as important as the nitzchias that a person has when he's involved with learning. But let's now get to the next point, that something about Birkas HaTorah. How do we know that there's a chiyuv to make a bracha midoraisa? So we quoted the pasuk in Parashas Hazino. The pasuk says, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Leilokeinu. When I call out Hashem's name, I have to give greatness to Hashem. So the Ramban notes at the very, very, very beginning, in his Hagdamah to Sefer Bereishis, the Ramban points out a very interesting thing. Okay, and that is, when you look at that pasuk, it doesn't really, or at least when we look at it superficially, we would say, where do we see in that pasuk that I'm supposed to make a bracha about learning? It says, when I call Hashem's name, Havu Godel Leilokeinu, you should give greatness to Hashem. That's clearly the phrase, Havu Godel Leilokeinu, that we're learning the idea of a bracha from, right? That's the right, praising Hashem, etc. But where do we see in that pasuk, from the beginning part of the pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call out or read Hashem's name, I have to make the bracha. What is after with learning? Maybe about tefillah, but what is after with learning? The Ramban says a very important thing. Says the Ramban in the beginning, and again, it's the introduction of the Ramban to Sefer Bereishis, which is really the introduction to his, the entire parish on the Torah. The Ramban says, Kol HaTorah Kula Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ramban that all the entire Torah, everything from A to Z, or Beis to Lamed, as a Sefer Torah works with all the Torah Shabbat Peh, is Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are names of Hashem. And Ramban points out a very interesting thing. It really is very interesting. He says that if a person was to take all of the psukim of the Torah from the beginning till the end and write them out on a piece of paper without putting any different, spaces, thank you, between the various letters that are there, the various sentences, the various parts, all the letters. Laid out on a sheet of paper, from start to finish. You can make as many columns, whatever it is you want, it doesn't really matter. And Baum points out that the body of letters that a person had can be, that's there on the page, can be permutated so many different times. Again, you could sit down and do the equations if you want. Meaning to say, we have in a Sefer Torah the word Bereishis as Bereishis, Bara as Bara. But just for argument's sake, if we just took those two words, Bereishis Bara, didn't make any space between the two of them, and now started to divide up those two words in all the different ways you could divide them up. So instead of Bereishis, you could just have Bar, for example, right? Those two letters. You could, any combination of letters that are there, put the make the word this, make the word that, etc. Says the Ramban, built into the Torah is a whole series of all of the letters, depending on how you put the spaces that are there, represent different shemos, different names of the Ribbono Shel Olam, different insights, different deep secrets and ideas into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the entire Torah is there, the Ramban says, to give a person an insight into understanding and relating to, getting to know Hashem. That's what the Torah is all about. A person is not only learning, say right now you're learning Bava Kama, so you're learning Inyanim of, I'm going to simplify what the Ramban says. The Ramban speaks of telling the names of God, that's like a whole difficult concept to work on it, to think about. You can take a look in the Ramban, you know, yourself, and won't see all that much more than what I just told you. But to put things at a slightly different level, what we're sitting and learning, let's say, Bava Kama, right now, all the halachas of Nezikin, right, that's what we've been doing this man. You might do stuff like Genev and Gezela afterwards. Well, the mice have been learning about different kinds of Mazikin, right? Other Mazik, Shora Mazik, and all of that. So ultimately, when a person's learning, when a person's involved in Limud HaTorah, what he's meant to be doing, aside from doing the obvious job of I have to know the sugyos, and I have to know it clear, and I have to know it deep, and I have to know it well on all the different levels that I possibly can. But beneath all that and driving all of that, a person also has to recognize and understand that my understandings of Torah are meant to bring me to a greater and deeper understanding of Hashem Himself, right? Meaning to say, I know a little bit more about how God thinks. How does He feel about this? How does He work? The more I learn, and the more sugyas I learn, the more of the entirety of Kol HaTorah Kula that I'm learning, I'm getting to understand and know the Ribbono Shel Olam more and more and more and more. So just in the same way, for argument's sake, if anyone just thinks back to someone that they have a particularly close relationship with, and you'll say, like, I know them, like, so I know like what they would say about this, I know what they think, I know what they feel, I know how they're going to respond, I know how they're going to react, I'm going to do this because I know if I don't do that, then I'm going to get... the people that you know, like, you sort of understand what's going on inside their minds and their hearts, emotionally, etc. I don't have to elaborate, we know what that means, correct? Like, we're normal, like, there are people that we've interacted before, we understand what I'm saying right now. So the same thing is true when it comes to us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, God is not somebody that we go hang out with for pizza on a Motzei Shabbos. Like, we don't always have the opportunity just to sit down and have a superficial conversation, the same way we might with a friend. With a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we actually have a much, much deeper relationship. And by sitting and getting to know Kol HaTorah Kulo, piece by piece and piece by piece, sugya after sugya, blad after blad, parsha after parsha, whatever it is that we're learning. But all of it, what we're getting to know over here is, hey, this is how God works. This is how He thinks. These are the things that He likes or dislikes, good things, bad things, and so on and so forth. Moshe Rabbeinu was called a person, this is a mashal from the Chafetz Chaim, Tumunas Hashem Yabit. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu had he could see the picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we know that Hashem doesn't have a guf, ain't lo dumus guf, right? So the Chafetz Chaim explains when it says Tumunas Hashem Yabit, what that means is that Moshe Rabbeinu knew Torah so well. He had such a deep understanding and deep grasp on the Torah that he walked away knowing more about God than anyone else ever did before, because he like had that relationship. He knew the Divrei Torah that are there. And of course, when we're sitting and getting involved with learning, just to think back at the makor of how we know the Birkas HaTorah, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I'm sitting down to read Hashem's name, what's Hashem's name? Where's God in this picture? That's right, because learning the Torah is essentially learning about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then we have to sit down and give that bracha. So those are just two introductory thoughts in terms of making sure that we can highlight for ourselves, hey, you know what, this is like a big opportunity, this Birkas HaTorah that we're making. And two very important hashkafos that come out, again, the importance of Torah in our life, recognizing this is what gives me a kiyum, this is what gives me an existence, and then giving a certain frame on what the whole experience of learning is in terms of a person actually getting to know Hashem a lot better than they had known from beforehand. Now, again, there's a lot more to talk about that point, but I want to just get through a little bit of the Birkas HaTorah and keeping an eye on a possible sighting of Yehovah's HaTamidim also tonight. So let's move on. A couple of quick thoughts, get them down, and we can talk about them as the days go on, even not in the context of this year. I'm going to start from the beginning of the Birkas HaTorah and work our way through. But this is now going to be early morning chizuk, every single day. If you don't remember what we're going to be speaking about now, it's because I feel like bring your notebooks next to your bed, and when you put it by your spot, whatever you sing, Birkas HaTorah, you should get rolling. Let's keep in mind the story before we light. I love this story. It makes me feel guilty every single day. There was a time once that the Netziv, who had a grandson-in-law named Reb Chaim Brisker, and it was on Sukkot night, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, about 3 in the morning, and the Netziv had a certain insight into learning that he thought was like really, really sharp, so he called his grandson, Reb Chaim, over. They wanted to, you know, to say over what it was that he was learning. Okay, now, let me just pause. The fact that I'm telling you this story doesn't mean that you should call your friends. Oh, did I tell you this story? I got like one night right before Purim sometime. I got a call at 3 in the morning from an alumnus of the yeshiva. And at first my cell phone rang. I thought it was a mistake. And then my house phone started to ring. So like I realized, okay, maybe it was like important, whatever it was. And I guess I ran up to get the phone. Rabbi, I had the best like chiddush right now. I got to tell you, whatever it was. I know it was the middle of the night, but I had to share it with you. I don't know what's going on. And I just fell asleep like less than an hour before. I was like a little bit out of it. And like he told me that truth, I have no idea what he said actually. On the phone, I couldn't even like it just wasn't like wasn't paying attention. And I was like, okay, right. And then I started just trying to be nice. I was like trying to talk to him on the phone. No, it's not. I was in the middle of the night. You go back to sleep. I just had to tell you that. Slam the thing. Now, so Mistam, he heard a story like the one I'm about to tell. But I just want to make it clear that doesn't necessarily mean you should like randomly call people to tell them Kiddush Min Lai. But this, I guess, the Netziv understood that him and Reb Chaim had a special relationship. So he called Reb Chaim over. And fetched him from his sukkah, and you know, said, you know, let's talk and learning. So Reb Chaim quickly said, you know, give me a second to make Birkas HaTorah, so we can start, you know, start learning together. And Netziv started crying, and Chaim was taken aback, and he said, I can't believe, what did I do wrong in my life that I live to see the day that one of my descendants hasn't yet made Birkas HaTorah 3 in the morning. Boom. Okay. Now. So we get up in the morning, whenever that morning might be. Okay, and I mean, some people get up, and you know, everyone said a very interesting thing. Rav Liashiv Zatzal used to begin his morning seder at 2 o'clock in the morning, and ten o'clock, and every single night. He had a very very fixed schedule, which was amazing about him. He just kept to his thing and did it, and that was that. On the night of his levaya, so I mean it was a huge funeral. Obviously, it was, you know, thousands upon thousands of people there, and he had passed away in the evening. So here in Yerushalayim, you bury someone this thing within, you know, before the next morning. You bury someone the same day that they had passed away, no matter when, no matter what. It's even in the middle of the night. And but you know, he was nifter sometime in the early evening, at 6-7 o'clock. I don't remember exactly when it was. And they handed levaya, but there were so many people that it just like things like dragged on, and the whole procession of bringing him to the Aram Menuchos took a very very long time. And the kfur was like right before 2 o'clock in the morning. And so like a vort spread like very very quickly around Yerushalayim that I don't remember that night or the next morning. It was always a little like a blur. But I remember that same day. And they said how there was like such a fitting, message, you know, that was there. There was a time of the day like most people in the world like never saw. Like 2 o'clock in the morning was not like a time that most people walking around. But on the day Rabbi Yashiv died, like Kadosh Baruch Hu showed you like that. Like, what made him special was like at that time that we're all sitting here like Grug. He was up every single night like sitting and learning. Like right, that's when he began his, you know, his learning day, and it was a very very impressive thing. One of his grandchildren, so I have a little catch with her, was Ariye. Eliashiv had once rigged his grandfather's room. He put a little camera in the top of a bookshelf, and the folks working on the clock. He was trying to show the schedule. Like you saw, like, you know, 1:50, 1:55, and at 2 o'clock, Rashi like sat down at his desk with his gemara to start learning. Then the clock just sat there. The camera sat there for like hours, and he used to daven at 6 or whenever, you know, to correspond with him, whenever, even if Nate was early, but he always had daven at 6 o'clock, 6:30. I don't remember exactly when. And what was that? No, a minion. He had a minion set. People came to do that with him. So that was a, you know, a powerful thing. Some people get up early in the morning to learn. It's a good thing to do. You should all, like, the things we're going to speak over now, a person should try to, you know, remember when he's actually saying the Birkas HaTorah. Ashayka Dashon Tzilav Tzivano Lasok B'divrei Sora. Now, there's a machlokas of Nishonim, what exactly the nusach of the bracha is. We're going to be just discussing right now the standard nusach Ashkenaz. Other people say slightly different things, but we're going to, you know, do the one that rov of the Klal Yisrael follows. The Taz explains something very very beautiful and very important. This is the same idea is also found in a Maharal. And then the Siva Torah, they both explain. They both say the same exact point. That's a very very important point. The bracha that we make on any given mitzvah helps us define what exactly that mitzvah is. Right? So if a person, let's say, you know, he makes a bracha before he puts on tefillin, lahaniach tefillin, so, and then you ask, oh, so what mitzvah am I doing? I'm doing the mitzvah of hanachas tefillin. Hanachas tefillin means putting on, whatever you want to call, the pair of tefillin. I make a bracha, lahadlik ne'er shel Shabbos. I know the mitzvah that I'm doing is the lighting of a candle, right? Afrashas truma, right? Okay, I'm separating, right? And so on and so forth. Like the bracha tells us what the mitzvah is. So here we have a mitzvah, la'asok b'divrei Torah, to work in divrei Torah. If you want to use fancier English, to toil in divrei Torah. Explains the Taz and the Maharal that there's a big lesson that the Chazal are teaching us over here. A person shouldn't think that the end goal of learning is to amass mass amounts of knowledge. That the goal of learning and the kiyum, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of learning, is not based on how much a person knows in a quantitative sense. Do I know every mesechel and shas backwards and forwards? Do I know every siman in the Shulchan Aruch? The mitzvah of learning is the asek, the work that's there in the learning, the being involved in the toil of Divrei Torah. Explains the Taz and the Maral. If a person sat down and they learned Be'asmada, they worked really, really hard to try to get pshat in the sugya. I'm just going to say like in a sort of funny way. And at the end of the day, they sat down, they learned the sugya, and they like came out with exactly this, like the halacha, like Beis Shammai, which like we know is just not true. Like that's like you messed up. Like that's not the psak halacha. You got it all wrong. Like you thought you were doing a good job, and whoops, I ended up with like on the wrong side of the team. They both explain a person though that gets 100% schar for his learning. He did not waste a second of his time. That's a 1,000,000% fulfillment of the mitzvah of learning, because he was trying. He was working. The fact that he might have gotten the wrong halacha at the end, that doesn't really matter. The point in learning is the effort. Now, it doesn't mean we don't want to try to know things. It doesn't mean we don't want to try to have a clarity. But the point is, when a person can never have any sense of a chalisha sadas, a person can't like, you know, get down on himself if he feels, oh, I'm not getting anywhere. I you know, learned so many hours and all I got was 3 lines of the Gemara, 2 words of the Gemara. I didn't really chap this sugi as well as I could. If a person sat there and they tried and they made an effort and they were like legitimately like giving it all that they could, and it doesn't work. I didn't understand it. It was hard. It was too new to me. I didn't get all the information down part. All of that is called being osake, working in Divrei Torah. Did I get it? I might not have gotten it all. It doesn't really matter. The asek, the involvement, is what's important. Once in the early days of the Lakewood Yeshiva, Sir Baron Zetzel, I went over to a Rebbe. Baron Cutler was someone with lightning sharp mind. In our generation, like in the past couple, he was probably one of the smartest of the Gedolei Yisrael, a very, very quick thinker, lightning fast. I ran into a problem speaking. I don't know if you ever heard a recording of him, whatever it was. He spoke in a very, very unclear way, because his mind processed information way quicker than the muscles were able to actually relay things. Like his mouth couldn't work as fast as his mind were. With all the geniuses that Gedolei Yisrael have been, he was remarkably an incredibly, incredibly quick, you know, quick thinker, and a deep thinker also. I mean, it was just like he was, always like a very like really impressive combination of like having a depth of thought with like just like this lightning, you know, sharp, you know, speed, that was there. And if you read a shiurim, they're incredibly, incredibly deep. They're all over the place and like really mass amounts of knowledge. Hitako was really one of the greatest that was there in learning. And once in Lakewood, so he had called a boy over who was like a very average intelligence, and went over to the boy with tears and actually crying in a hallway and said, "You should, I'm just so jealous of you. Like, you don't understand like how bad I feel." He goes, "You know, I'm going to go up to Shemayim and the Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't look at me, and I'm going to get no schar for anything I ever learned in my life. Kalatar Kula, Ba, Big Lambda, and Rashiya, because it comes easy to me. Because he recognizes who I have such a brain, so smart, so whatever it is. I barely work. I have no asik in Torah. I'm not yagay. I obviously he must have been yagay of Amli. Probably didn't mean on the same level. Like, he wasn't playing basketball and whatever it was. But he felt that like what he had accomplished, what was done in a way that another person would have had to have worked like so hard at doing it. I said, realize, like, I'm jealous of you. Your mitzvah of learning is much greater than I am. That was a very important mussar, to be heard. Sometimes people get down on themselves and they say, oh, like, I'm not the Gadol Hador, I'm not like Rabbi Kiveg, or I'm not Chaim Brisker, I don't have all these like chakiros and lamdas and other things that other people might be able to give over. A person has to realize it doesn't matter. Every single morning we're going to make a bracha, Lasok b'divrei Torah. Just the bracha itself has to remind us every single day, my job today is to try, my job is to work, my job is to be involved in the learning. If I get it, gevaldik. If I don't totally get it right, that's also gevaldik. Put in the time, put in the hours, read it again, try another time. And that's a full mitzvah of limud Torah. And that's something that's very, very major for us to realize. Yeah.
So, why do we make a bracha of like atachonin, that we should chapit if that's not really what matters?
First of all, the bracha atachonin, we didn't get the shmonesu yet, but if you notice, it has nothing to do with learning. So
in general, it's that we should have good seichel.
Yeah, wasn't that like important? Like, for example, right? Like, wouldn't it be pretty like sad if you didn't have the brains to know that when that car was driving down the street, like, you shouldn't walk in front of it?
Yeah.
Right. So, like, there's like a lot of
nothing to do with learning.
What was that?
That bracha has nothing to do with learning.
Look at it.
I mean, it's not specifically about learning, but could it be about learning?
Well, learning is one of the things like we want like have brains for.
Is that a kavanah that we should have during atachonin, or maybe not? Because it's not really
about everything. Yeah, we'll get it. Let's get up to there. Begin. I know we're in this page. We got to get to that page. Okay. There's a little more to speak about lasuk b'divrei Torah, maybe other ideas in that bracha also. But like I said, I'm racing against the clock. I want to try to finish up the whole picture over here. Then we continue on with the bracha. As we know, the Rishonim point out this is a long bracha. This is all part of the same bracha. We don't answer a main if the person says lasuk b'divrei Torah. We make the bracha v'hari v'nashim lekenes divrei Torah s'chavefino v'fi amcha beis Yisrael. Now this is something that is incredibly important for a person to take the time to think about and to feel also. Okay, for a very, very pashut reason. If I'm going to translate the words in case we don't know what they mean. Okay, v'hariv na Hashem alakinu divrei Torah s'chavefino means Hashem, please make the words of Torah arevim, sweet and pleasant in my mouth. V'fi amcha beis Yisrael, in the mouths of all of the Jews. Now, if you stop and think what that means for a second, there's something incredibly powerful. And this, the Leonidas Deity, is one of the big, like I said before, like Birkas HaTorah is an opportunity that we don't take seriously and we mess up. This line is one of them. Every single person in this room, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you're from, any single person in any base matters in any place in the world, right? We all know, we all understand that if we really got a geschmack out of learning, if we enjoyed it, if it was sweet and pleasant and something that we connected to and so on and so forth, we would never stop learning. If we appreciated how sweet and how great the learning was, it would be something that we would like, be drawn to like magnetically. We would never want to be poreish from learning in the slightest bit. And we also all know that for various reasons, learning is not always as sweet and pleasant to us as it could be. And there might be lots of both legitimate and illegitimate reasons why. Some people just don't like making effort. Some people don't appreciate that the whole mitzvah is to make the effort, and like if I get it or not get it is not so important. But some people, which is normal and very, very human, feel better about things when they understand than when they don't understand. And for many, many people, the process of like having to actually work at something in order to achieve and accomplish is something that's hard for them to do. Okay. A foreign language, if you're an American trying to learn in Hebrew, it's hard. I don't have the language skills down pat. It could be lots of reasons why Torah is not yet totally sweet and enjoyable. We all agree, right, that if it was sweet and it was enjoyable for us, we would love it, right? And like the challenge that any person who has, if they're in a base medrash and they close the Gemara and walk outside to play basketball before the Machshava Shir starts, or before your morning shiur starts, or before your other shiur starts, or whenever else you're supposed to be in the basement, maybe it's medrash learning, and every single person, right, before they ever close their gemara to do anything else that was there, okay, the bottom line is, if we were totally loving what we were doing, right, we would never, we just would never stop, we would never close that gemara, right? Now, unless we're very, very from and we really cared about the Isser about Tishaksu, okay? Even if they go to a grotesque example, sorry, tape recorders, even if I think of the bathroom, okay? Really, really, really bad, okay? But, and I have like that bathroom, pre-bathroom pain, like the whole little like, you know, thing going on, the dynamic going on inside my body. But if I was totally in love with learning, what would happen is you watch the guy like doing like this, like, cause like, I, you know, like I gotta get out of here. But like that pain is like, I'd rather have that pain and have the enjoyment of the learning that I'm loving every second of than like than closing the Gemara. It would be more hurtful for me to close that Gemara than to run out to the bathroom. Now again, if you're from, you say it's about to shak, so you got to go, okay, fine, very good. So shkaf, okay, you go to the bathroom anyway. But imagine for a second that you had like the ashkaf and the perspective and the feeling that I was partially in love with this. I can't stop. This is the most enjoyable thing in my existence. Okay. Listen very, very carefully to what we just said over here. Every single day, right, the Ribbono Shalom, who sees into our hearts, knows what we're feeling, knows what we want, knows our ritzonos, knows how we think, etc. Here is a Jew coming to him and saying, let's make a deal. Right? I really would like to learn. I really don't like learning so much right now, okay, if that's what we're holding. I don't like it as much as I could. Maybe I haven't done as gishmak as I want it to be, and so on and so forth. But I know, like, they tell me it is, and like, you know, I see that people really do enjoy it. And Mistama Torah is like Marasha Kilas Yaakov, it's meant for everybody, it's a Jew's inheritance, our birthright, blah, 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 blah. So I know that that's like something that's shayach to me also. I'm talking to God now, not to you, okay? I know it's something that's shayach to me also. So here, let's make a deal. I have a feel that I say every single day, God, and we say the word please. You know what please means? Like, pretty, pretty please, like you're begging over there. Harev no Hashem Elokeinu Divrei Sarascha Befino. I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do me a favor. Make this be the most geshmak day of my life. Give me a chance to enjoy the learning. And there's a guarantee that's there, because we know the great tzaddikim have taught us a lesson that when a Jew davens about ruchnias things, when he davens for atzlach in his spiritual life, atzlach and ruchnias, those are tefillos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always answers. Hashem always opens up the doors for us. A person wants to be matzliach and is learning in this mitzvah, that mitzvah, whatever it is. If he davens very hard for that, then he really wants that. Kadosh Baruch gives him a siyata d'shmaya. A person turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and actually means, I would love, God, if learning could be sweet to me today. I'd love to enjoy this. Let it be geshmak. And I have a tefillah that will be answered if I actually daven. If I mouth the words and say it quickly and I don't mean it, I have no idea what it means, etc. So obviously that's not like a meaningful experience. But imagine that guy, and again, like we have this picture in our mind, but maybe this like should actually be us, standing like in the corner of the Beis Medrash, like really like just like going like this to like, you know, and not that I'm trying to make a whole group of like crazy people over here, but even if you can do it without like the, what are the words, gestulations,
gestures?
No, there's like a bit, gesticulation, something like that. There's a T in there. Dramatics. Even if you can do it without the dramatics, okay? And even if you do without, but you actually like felt it inside that you like you want that geshmak, you want that arevus, that sweetness, that pleasantness in learning, that could go an incredibly long way. So when a person ever says to himself, you know, I don't know if I really enjoy learning, that your immediate follow up has to be, well, how much am I investing in my birkas haTorah in the morning? Like it could actually, now a person, if you're cynical / a little bit of a kofir, and you like don't believe in the power of tefillah, so you say, oh, like, who cares? I sent some dumb bracha that I'm going to make. That's not going to do anything, right? But if like you're a little bit of a Yirei Shamayim and a little bit of a balamuna and actually think that tefillah is a meaningful experience, right? So understand that this is something you don't want to pass up right now. This is it. We're spending so many hours a day in a Beis Medrash learning, like it's stupid to not take the 5 seconds in the morning to at least try to make it enjoyable. Right? And here we have, let's mean it, let's do it. It's such a powerful thing that a person has an opportunity to do. Yeah.
Are you supposed to have this kimono throughout the whole bracha or just very hard?
Well, those are the words that mean that. So if you're like saying something else and thinking the wrong translations, that's also not like the smoothest of things to do. But yeah. Now we'll go on to the next words, though. Since that was a nice word. A question or a
question?
Scratch your face, yeah.
Does that mean that if you make the bracha, it's automatically going to be good? At least part of it? Part of one today?
If you really mean it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that means like that, you know, and As soon as I sit down next to him, wow, hey, all of a sudden it's like, this is great. Like, I mean, I don't know, take a day. I don't, you know what I'm saying? But it's a, yeah, it works and it happens. And it's a, we call badek amenusa, tried and proven. A person really has to, you know, to be davening hard. You'll see that it does happen. See that it does happen. Again, I do not mean to imply that it's an instant, you know, thing that boom, on the spot, everything now is like the, you know, the smoothest, you know, sailing. And by the way, it doesn't necessarily mean that it will be the smoothest sailing, because sometimes the arevas comes to a feeling of accomplishment. I struggled, I worked, and I gave myself another push, but then when I got something, I was like, that was an amazing feeling that was there. It doesn't mean that it's easy, it just means that it's geschmack. Meaningfully geschmack and sweet.
So, if someone says in the morning says the bracha, and then like, there are a lot of people in the world that
I thought you were going to say if someone says the bracha in the afternoon, but yeah, keep going.
What?
Nothing. Yeah.
I'm not learning.
Most people in the same there say these psukim right after. So these are the basic learning. Like that you can be yotze like something with that.
Can't a rabbi
too? If you didn't make Birkas HaTorah, if you learn immediately after, you're done. Yeah. Okay. Let's finish up over here, and let's at least continue. We're almost finishing up. So then we continue with the bracha. Nia nachno v'tzetzeino tzetze amcha beis Yisrael kulano yodei shemecha v'lomdei sarasecha l'shma. So interestingly enough, okay, and this is something that, you know, also all these things are important perspectives. We part of our experience of davening about our own learning is also, first of all, davening for other people. That should be sweet b'fi amcha beis Yisrael, right, in the sweet in all the mouths of all the Jews. Nia anachnu v'tzetzeino, and we, and not just me, but my descendants, should be yodei shemecha, should know your name, and learn Torah l'shma. And so there's a couple of points that should be spoken out in these, you know, in this section of the davening. First of all, already at the very beginning of our day, when we're davening about learning, we have a reminder that our caring and focus is not meant to only be on our own Hatzlacha in learning, but we're actually meant to be caring about other people. Like the Jewish people together are connected. Torah is a morasha, kihilas Yaakov. It's a birthright of all the Jews that are there in the world. And we speak about learning, a person is meant to care about other people also. Not just sweet for me, but it should be sweet for everybody. I don't just want to learn for myself. The learning should be good, and me and my kids, my descendants, grandchildren, etc., should be holding and learning, knowing things also. Part of what's important about Divrei Torah is that our chiyuv in learning is not just to be learning, but is also to be teaching. Right? Interestingly enough, the Achronim really want to point out that the psukim in the Torah that teach us about the mitzvah of learning, right, are always formulated, I shouldn't say always, a little bit in Chumash they're always, but not necessarily in Navi, are always formulated with a mitzvah of giving over Torah to somebody else. Vishinantam livanecha. You should teach Torah to your children. Right? According to many of the Rishonim, that's the mitzvah of learning. Now, it doesn't say you should learn. It says you should give it over to somebody else. Because the learning is done, a limud has to be al manas lalamid, with the understanding that Torah is going to be transmitted to other people. Rav Chaim even said over once that there's a whole famous machlokas, you learned it when you learned Birkas HaTorah, Hilchas Birkas HaTorah. Do you make Birkas HaTorah on thinking and learning or not? So the Groy claim that even on hearer and divrei Torah, a person has to make a bracha. We don't pass like that lemaisa. And Reb Chaim explained it's not that the thinking and learning is not a mitzvah of learning. It's certainly true, but the ikar learning is the learning that can be given over to somebody else. Now, no one could ever read your mind, right? No one's going to know like what you're thinking about when you're learning. But even if I'm sitting and learning by myself and I'm reading over this halacha, im hifsek bein birkas haTorah lalimut shel parshas birkas kohanim rov ha'achronim meskimim shetzorach lachzor ulavarich. Now, I didn't have any interest in you listening in, right? But if I say it out loud and someone could, right, partake of the learning that I was doing along with me, so said Reb Chaim, that's a greater quality of learning, because even though you don't realize you're doing it, but learning that can be shared, learning that can be transmitted to somebody else, the very fact that I'm saying it out loud, that's part of the the full experience of Limud HaTorah. Because Torah is meant to be something for all of us and for all of Klal Yisrael. So those of us who are thinking about being professional mechanichim, professional rabbanim, that's something that's important to realize. Yes, we have a responsibility to give over. Those of us who are thinking about being regular Jews, we have the same exact responsibility to give over Torah to as many people as we possibly can. Also, certainly with our own families and our own children. There's a reminder over here that a person has to have as well. There's a lot, this is like, because it's longer than you thought. There's also another reminder. When we're thinking about our children, when we're learning, even though we're right now not at the stage where we actually have little kids that are, you know, pulling in our pants, and wanting this, that, and the next thing, but a person has to remember that whatever you're learning in your life now during these years, you do have a chiyuv and responsibility to transmit, to give over to another generation. If you now remain the Amei HaAretz that you were born as, okay, and that's we're all born not knowing anything, and if we sort of like stay the same like that, when it comes over to a time that we're supposed to be giving over to our kids and raising a proper Jewish family, trying to have a family of Gedolei Torah, etc., Talmidei Chacham, we're not going to be able to do that, right? Because no one else is going to be able to give over learning and a love of learning and understanding more than the parents to their children. The same way we might all know and have experienced that schools do not necessarily do a good job. Okay, without getting into any political comments in the slightest bit, but one will notice a very interesting thing, that most of the Gedolim, like there were actually real, real Gedolei Yisrael, never actually went to schools. As much as it's great that there's so many Torah schools and things that we have today in all the different communities and all of that, but a school by definition, right, is going to be constricting. There are rules and the style is not always for everybody and blah, 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 blah. And things are so rigid in schools. So truth be told, when a person is just left to just sprout on, hey, he might need guidance, he needs a Rebbe, he needs someone to get him going. But a person who can really just be able to like be himself without having to worry about a grade and a something and whatever it is going to do, you know, is going to do much, you know, much, 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 much better off if he can just, you know, be himself and do his thing. How do we provide that environment for our children, right? The person has to be a parent that can actually give it over to his kids and make sure that the kids understand like who they are and whether. Remember when I was sending my first son to school, the one who just got married, my son Yisrael, so I was speaking to my Rebbe to Revival about, you know, where we were living in Far Rockaway at the time, and, you know, where should we send? There were like the more popular places, this, that, the next, like where, you know, where to go. So he said, let me give you one simple rule and remember the rest of your life. He said, the chinuch and your children's chinuch is always going to come from your house and never anything else. And always remember that. Your job in picking a school is to try to find the place that's going to be makalkil your son as least as possible. Just try to find the place that's not going to mess him up, and that's all that you're looking for. If you think that anything good is going to come out of school, you're making a mistake, okay? Just try to find the place that won't mess him up. And that's all you got to do. But that's an incredible responsibility for a parent. That means a parent really has to be the one to give over. Now, how do I gain the ability to, this is parenting lessons for 17, how old are we, 17, 18? I always get this back.
19, 20.
19. You're 20?
No, 19. He is.
Okay, whatever it is. And,
you're old.
Okay.
You're old.
But important lessons for us at this stage in our life, without learning now and without amassing lots and lots of learning, lots of hashkafa, knowing mesechtos, knowing as much as we can, being osek in Torah in a proper way as much as we possibly can, that's not going to be able to be, you know, be given over. Days wasted now, stardom wasted now, basketball during Seder now is going to equal something that I'm not going to be able to give over down the line. That's why we remind ourselves every single day, your job and your learning is certainly for you, but it's also for everybody else, and it's also for your kids. Meaning to say, don't be an idiot. Sit down and learn a lot today. Focus, try, work, do it, because the Maisi have a big job to give over to other people. What are we asking Hashem? We should all be Yodei Shemecha. We should know your name. Right? So we already spoke about that before, and that's just another reminder of the same principle. So I'm just going to like rewind my tape and not repeat it all over again. But just to remind ourselves, that's right. Learning, we have to remember, if I'm learning, descendants, other people, whatever it is, the goal is to be people who actually know, connect to, because the word Yediyah, it means to connect to an idea that I know is something that's become part of me that used to be external. We want to connect to know, to bond ourselves with the Kadosh Baruch Hu as much as we can. And we also want to learn Torah lishma. So the truth is, there's a discussion amongst the Mefarshim, what limud haTorah lishma. What does it mean to learn lishma actually mean? Right now we're just going to give the translation of the Nefesh HaChaim and the Shaar Dalet of the Nefesh HaChaim, written by Rechaim Velazhin, of the Talmud Muvak of the Gra. So he brought a raya from a Rush in the Darim, that learning lishma, and this is a very, very simple thing to do, is what he calls, what the Rush writes, the Shem HaTorah. What does that mean? So the Chassidim always speak about learning the Shema means a person has to learn for the sake of getting a devekus with Hashem. Your goal in learning is to, you know, connect yourself to God. Maybe it's true also that Torah brings to a great devekus. The Rush writes, and we tend to follow the Rishonim more than later greats. That the Rush writes that learning the Shema means that a person has to learn for the sake of knowing the Torah. Meaning to say, my job is to learn as much as I can, to know as much as I can, to want to be able to know Kol HaTorah Kula. And that's my job. My interest in that right now is to try to make sure that I know as much as I can of the Torah. Again, that doesn't change the fact that the mitzvah is the asek in the Torah. But when I sit down and I'm osek in that learning, my understanding is I would like to get to that goal of actually having a mastery of Torah and, by extension, knowing the Rabbanu Shalom as much as I can. Baruch Ata Hashem Hamalamed Torah Li'amo Yisrael. We're not going to do a question right now because I want to finish before 8 o'clock. Hamalamed Torah Li'amo. We still have a God. I don't want to be late for the God of Shares. Hamalamed Torah Li'amo Yisrael. Now, what did we just say over there? Let's get a translation in English.
You want to teach Torah to people,
Israel. That's fascinating. So let's think about that for a second also. And this is incredible chizuk. A person should walk away from Birkas HaTorah like a football player running out to the field that just got pumped up by his ref in the locker room. Right? That's what Birkas HaTorah is. A total, total psycho. I'm a lamed Torah Liyamo Yisrael. We bless Hashem who teaches Torah to his people, Klal Yisrael. It's an unbelievable statement. We think when we sit down and learn, right, that it's my brain, right, with whatever intellectual skills and abilities God gave me, that's going to learn, that's going to understand, that's going to know. And it's actually not true. Limud haTorah, and this is the reason why the Asek haTorah and the Yagi is so important here. Torah is learned and becomes known by what? The fact that Hashem is sitting there teaching you the Divrei Torah. Again, it's not a past tense. Hashem taught the Torah at Har Sinai. Hamalamed means Hashem teaches Torah to Klal Yisrael. And that means when a person sits down to learn, okay, Torah as a spiritual knowledge, is something that's not just, you know, I read the facts in the history book and I remember it, and learned an equation and I don't remember it, but whatever it is that, you know, that's going on, Torah as a ruchnius thing and as a limud that connects a person to Hashem himself is something that Hashem is teaching to us. So when I'm reading a line of Gemara, learning a piece in Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is on that moment, that on the spot, giving over the Yediyah in Torah to me. That's why we know the famous Gemara Megillah. The Gemara says, if a person says, Yagati, I worked, Velo Matzasi, I didn't find, then Al Tamei. Now there's a couple of lessons in that Gemara. It's all built into this bracha over here. Why did the Chazal use the Lashon of I worked and Lo Matzasi, or Yagati? What does Matzasi mean? Finding things are usually like by accident. If a person goes to work, right, and let's say your guy is a builder, okay, he's a carpenter, and he boom, 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 hammers nails and whatever it is, and all of a sudden there's a closet. And he says, hey, I found a closet. That's like a little weird. You didn't find it. You just made a closet. Like, what are you, idiot? Like, you did the closet over there. So what do you mean, Yogati Umatsasi, I found success, and you didn't find anything, you learned it, right? The teretz is, all the mefarshim are going to explain this, that learning is not something that you do, right? You don't know anything yourself, and you don't not know anything yourself. All of the learning is always because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is putting it into your mind. How do I find a learning? Okay, well, the key is, like we said at the beginning of the bracha, lasok the divrei Torah. A person is yageya. He works, he puts an effort, he tries, he toils, he sweats, he schwitzes, all of those things. Then Hashem says, oh, you really want, you daven about it in the morning, you really want it? I'll let you have it. Now, sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to put us to the test, right? He's not going to let me have it right now. So then he wants to see, well, what am I going to do? Do I walk away and say, I don't really care, right? So I'm not going to come back. I'm not going to learn the blood again. I'm not going to chazer again. Why? Because it doesn't really make a difference to me. Okay, so you're not going to get that. A person had a really rough day. He didn't understand anything. He went to sleep feeling like an idiot. He was upset at himself. He fell down. He wakes up the next morning saying, I'm going to try this again. Like, I really want that. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that. That yigiya, fine. Now I'm going to let you have that. Right? You really want it? Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it over. And a person has to realize all learning is accomplished not through your own efforts, but because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was a melamed. The Rabbanu Shem taught me that, and they let me have that according to the level of my schust and my ratzon. That's why it's important to realize that any single person out there can become a Talmud Chacham. Any single person can become someone who's knowledgeable in learning, because it's not coming from you. I didn't do good in math, and I failed at in French class, and it doesn't matter. You can still learn a lot, because learning is not something that's coming from you.
Two things. One, that's why it's called a gift, right? Because Hashem has to give, you know, right? Hashem is giving it to you. And even non-intellectual people?
What's the question?
Even non-intellectual people can become Talmid Chacham. Everybody was saying yesterday about the Rambam. Like, 2 days ago.
Person has to work at it.
Even those people?
Person has a yigiyah, yeah. He might not be the Chazon Ish, but a person, there are going to be things that, you know, that a person might not, you know, on whatever, but a person who works and applies himself, yeah, can grow a tremendous, tremendous amount of learning. Yeah. Yeah. And it's very, very important to remember that. Now, parenthetically, you also have to remember, right, from that bracha of a malame, and this is the last one for today, a malame, just we're almost done with the bracha, malame Torah, Li'amo Yisrael, is that realize that there's this is like a goosebump moment that we're going to speak about over here. When the person is sitting with his Gemara in the Beis Medrash, right, and he realizes that he's being taught Torah by the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you take that idea, like, and actually think about what that means that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself is actually like here with me right now, right? Because if he's teaching me, that means somehow or another, like, he's like with me, around me, whatever you want to call it, like, giving me that injection of Divrei Torah. I'm working, trying to retranslate the words, and he's pumping my brain with the information. And God's with me right now. That's another way of saying that a person has like a real experience of Dveikus and a Ruchnius that's there in his learning, because he realizes, hey, you know what? This is like really me and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just a book. It's not just interesting, but I'm actually really encountering and experiencing the divine when I'm engaged in that learning. So that's a very exciting thing for a person to realize. I'm mamishna coming in contact with the Shechina Kadosh, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, when I'm involved with Limud Torah. So there's a couple of things. Mistama Birkas Torah is only going to take like still 30 seconds, like to make them or a minute. But realize, like, if you hazard the ideas, right, when you say the words, you're able to very, very quickly internalize and feel all those different thoughts. Memela, a person then sits down to learn during the day. There's so, if you step and think what we just did in the past almost an hour right now, like how much chizik a person got in terms of going in and just conquering the world in terms of growth and learning. That's an amazing thing that a Birkas HaTorah can do for somebody. Like I began with, how sad would it be if it just became like, oh, either I skip it or I aren't like aware of the incredible things that I'm actually davening about. And Adarab, how great could it be for a person if he's, you know, sitting down and thinking through the meanings of what the bracha is all about, or davening for the mindsets and the ideas that are being relayed. So that's that. And let's do that.